Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This morning, we were talking about one of the most important biblical principles in our Christian life, and that is having Christ as your chief cornerstone, that cornerstone of your foundation upon which everything aligns. Amen? And this morning, I want to talk about another important biblical principle. And we've been talking about calling, and I know last week we talked about trust. And there's an important principle for that, because this evening's message is based off of some questions that I've been asked recently, and it's going to be dealing with one of the biggest issues of when trust is not in our lives and how that contributes to some fears and anxiety. So we're dealing with that tonight. But this morning, we're going to go back and talk about the calling. We've talked about specific callings with individuals. We've talked about individuals that had callings to certain ministries. And there's so much that we could talk about in regards to individuals being called. And whether we're talking about Moses and how he was prepared, or David and how he was prepared, Joseph, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can see how the Lord develops an individual to do those things. And when we start taking a look at what we find as the calling for every believer, we find that it's not a specific thing. In Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 1 is where we're going to be this morning, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness, meekness, and with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, when we see these verses, and these are familiar verses to us, we've quoted them several times, I've quoted them several times, people have talked about them several times, I want us to get, and this may be something that you've heard before, but I want to challenge you this morning, specifically about your Christian walk. Because your Christian walk is a calling. And we got to understand that when we are called to do something, there's a reason why we're being called. When somebody calls us, they're generally purposely calling us. Now, setting aside, you know, the accidental dials, the pocket dials, and the spam callers and the things of that nature. Generally, when somebody calls you, they want to talk to you. When somebody calls you, they generally want to engage in a conversation. Now, when we talk about calling from the Lord, we're not going to get a voice call on our phones. We're not going to hear an audible calling. But what the Lord has established in His Word, He has already called us. And He has called us to do something. He's called us to do something that I don't know if many Christians truly grasp and understand. But prayerfully, we'll be able to do that this morning. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Lord, I thank you again so much for all that you have given to us, especially from your word. Above all, Lord, I thank you for the salvation that we have through you. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us. And this morning, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be tender to that, that we would respond to your leading, that we would respond to your call. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you have taught us, all that you continue to teach us. I pray, Lord, that these words would be words that we meditate on, that, Lord, they would change our lives. They would change our thinking. They would change our actions, and they would change our words. All for your glory and praise. And this I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we find here in this passage is we find this calling that's there. And every believer has a calling. If you are a saved, born-again child of God, you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this calling begins the moment you trusted Him. This isn't one of those things where you're called and then later on something happens. This is an immediate calling. This is something that when you trust Christ, it starts. Now, You may think, well, the Lord hasn't prepared me for that calling. No, He has enabled you for that calling. There's a difference between preparing and enabling, and when he has enabled you by his power, by the power of his resurrection upon salvation, he has given you everything you need to accomplish this calling. This is not something you're not going to be able to do. This is not something that you have to go to a training school to get. This is something that we find that is a scriptural principle that when you trust Christ, you begin to immediately respond to that call. You respond immediately to it. And when our souls pass from death, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, unto life in him, then that walk, as he talks about here, begins, and it is a walk that is ordained of God. God has a path for your life. God has a specific walk for your life. And some people may say, well, you know, are we talking about that specific path, or, you know, kind of like the specific will of God of, you know, does God want me to be an automotive mechanic, or does he want me to be a doctor? They're kind of the same thing. We both, you know, they both guess the diagnosis and hope for the best after, you know, when they're middle of surgery. But, you know, I'm not talking about that. I am talking about what God wants you to do in your life. Those things are part of that walk in that path that God has for you. So when we talk about this here, we need to make sure that we understand that walk is ordained of God. It is his life. It is not our own life. It's his life. And we're not to determine our own path in this life. You know, young people, you're going to be told that you need to find your own path in life. Don't listen to that advice. That is bad advice. That is bad counsel. You don't need to find your own path. You need to have and be on God's path. Amen? Be on God's path. Now, I understand what people are talking about when they say those things about, you know, you need to be your own individual self. No, we are not all, you know, some sort of weird collective, you know, all the same type of people respond to the same way, you know, faceless, nameless, emotionless type entity. That's not what a believer is. That we each have our own individual areas that the Lord uses us in, and the Lord uses those things as we've seen in Scripture. But when we're talking about the calling of the believer, we're talking about that general path. That is the path you need to be on before you can do anything else for God. If you're not on that path that God has ordained for you to walk on, then you're on the wrong path. And that path starts when you trust Christ as your Savior. And he says in 1 Corinthians, what, know ye not? Ye are not your own, you're bought with a price. Now live it. Live like it's his. Not live like it's yours. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. So when we think about this concept, we realize that this walk is something that is abundantly evident from Scriptures over and over again. He talks about us walking in the Spirit. The book of Galatians deals with that in chapter 5. And I want us to understand, when we're talking about walking in the Spirit, whose Spirit are we talking about? God's Spirit, amen? Now, what is the name of the Spirit of God? We refer to him as what? Holy Spirit. So you know what that walk is going to be? It is going to be a walk where you are called unto holiness. That's another passage we can go to at some other time, but we are to walk worthy, as he talks about here, and in order to walk worthy, we have to respond to the holiness of the Spirit. And the holiness of the Spirit will lead us into the holiness of God through his holy word. Do you wholly grasp that? I am talking about sin not being a part of it. Sin being excluded from our walk. And this is what Paul is talking about. This is what he's talking to these Ephesians about. And to us, as we read it now, that very clearly we understand this concept. And using this passage as a basic instruction for us, as a foundational principle that we're talking about, we should note that there's a couple of key words in this verse, verse 1. There's a couple of key words. I mean, obviously, there's the word beseech. And beseech is a pleading. It's an earnest pleading and request. It is a heartfelt desire that is being communicated to somebody that they would do something. But that's not what we're talking about. Paul beseeches us a lot. God beseeches us a lot. But this is something that we need to understand that the Lord is also beseeching us to do. This isn't just Paul asking the Ephesians. This is what he's asking of every believer, this request. But what we look at is we look at that word walk. We look at the word worthy. And obviously we're talking about the word called, but I also want to focus on that word vocation. Because that becomes the principal part of what we're looking at this morning. When we start asking about the walk in the Christian life, I want us to understand that the walk is the ordinary Christian life. The ordinary Christian life is the day-to-day. It's not a specific calling or to a specific ministry at a specific place, at a specific time in your life. No, this is a calling that will guide us through our day-to-day activities, guide us in our day-to-day thoughts, guide us in our day-to-day words, and guide us in our day-to-day actions. That's what chapter 4 is about. Amen? And all of those and what they relate to. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But what I want us to focus on is that this walk is not just something that is a specific ministry to say walk as a pastor, to walk as a Sunday school teacher, to walk as a nursery worker, or to walk as somebody that cleans the church. Which, by the way, if you're wanting to do that, again, there's another plea out there, an advertisement. Let's take this moment for our advertisers. Please, we need help with those areas. Amen? But I'm not talking about specifically that. I am talking about your ordinary Christian walk on a day-to-day basis from the moment you get up in the morning till the moment you go to sleep. This is the ordinary Christian life. Now, when I say ordinary, I'm not putting it in the sense of that it is not special. I am talking about that it is the day-to-day. It's not a specific event that you have to deal with. Sometimes we deal with catastrophic events. Sometimes we deal with difficult circumstances that happen in our life. Sometimes things come up. Sometimes there's major changes that happen and major decisions in a day. I'm not talking about those. I am talking about sometimes what people will try to think are the doldrums of the Christian life. Look, if you think that the Christian life is dull and doldrum and monotonous, then I will say you are not walking in the path that God has put forward for you. The Christian life is not mundane. The Christian life is precious. The Christian life is personal. The Christian life is purposed. I'm not trying to alliterate, but I just realized I did. But you understand what I'm saying is the reason that we get into that mindset of just kind of going with the flow is because we have lost our first love. We have lost that love with Christ. Turn to chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. When we start talking about this walk, Paul makes it clear, this walk is not as you used to walk. So we've all heard that life is a journey, amen? And some of us on our journey, we're journeying to various different places. Some people say, well, I'm journeying to get to this spot in time where I can retire, or I'm journeying in this spot, or some people are just journeying, trying to stay out of stay out of trouble, whatever it may be. But we call life a journey. And we talk about reaching the end as our destination. And our destination is either going to be heaven or hell, according to Scripture. Amen? So when we realize that, we realize that, yes, it's a journey, and God talks about it as a walk. And what we find is in this walk, he says, I don't want you to walk like you used to walk before you were saved. Meaning, I don't want you to walk in the world, and I don't want you to walk in sin. Chapter 2, in verse 2, he says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know what he's saying? He said, you were basing what you walked on two things, what the world wanted and what the devil wanted. That's who he's talking about here. Prince of the power of the air is the devil. Okay? And he says, you were walking in those paths. Neither one of those paths are good, amen? Because both of those paths lead to a destination of some pretty intense heat. Some torment. That's where they lead to. You may not see it on the destination. You may not be able to see it on that map. But that's where it leads to. So what we find is he says, look, I don't want you walking in the times that you did in the past. Your walk right now that you're walking, that he says, I'm going to beseech you to walk, is the walk that is in the Spirit of God, that is in his holiness. The walk that is now is the new walk. Look at verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know what God ordained when you trusted Christ as your Savior? He ordained a new path in your life. He said, you're not going to walk this old path. You're going to walk in this new path. This new path that I want you to walk in is one that is of good works, not works of the flesh. Good works according to God's goodness. Not our goodness, God's goodness. His righteousness, his holiness. Not our holiness, because we know what our holiness is. It's a filthy rag. It's a filthy rag. We find, he says, you don't walk the way in the past. You walk in the path that God has now said, this is what you must walk in. When he's ordained it, he has given you that as a specific purpose to do. That's what an ordination is about in Scripture. People get that word ordained all messed up, and the Reformed theologists and the Calvinists, they all take it and they misuse it, and they twist Scripture to their own destruction in that regards. But what we're talking about here is not something that was a foreordained as far as you were chosen in Christ. It was foreordained that when you trusted Christ as your Savior, this is the path that God's going to have you walk on. That path is the ordained path. That is the path that we walk in today. This is what he's saying, I want you to walk worthy in. As I've said, Ephesians deals with the three positions in Christ. And it is a sit, you're seated in heavenly places. It is a walk, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And it is a stand, and having done all, stand therefore, putting on the whole armor of God. Three positions in Christ. But today we're talking about this one that you're called to do, which is the walk. You're seated when you trusted Christ as your Savior. You now have an ordained path that he says, I want you to walk on. This is what you do. Well, how do we walk that path? Well, chapter 4, verse 1 says, worthy. Worthy. You know what that means? Worthy, is it worthy of us? Look, what are we worthy of? Well, if we're going to go with what we've done, we're going to go with, I'm worthy of death. So the worthiness that we're talking about is this. We're talking about the worthiness of the glory of God, his holiness. All is done for his glory, amen? Amen? If it's not done for his glory, it's done for somebody else's glory. But what do we find? He says, I want you to walk worthy. Take a look back over there in chapter 4, in verse 17. He says, I don't want you to walk this way. In verse 17, he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. They're walking the wrong path, but they're walking in their own ascent. They're walking in their own understanding. They're walking in their own purpose. They're walking in their own path. And he says, that's not the way you walk. You need to walk worthy. So if it is of our own understanding, and if it is of our own ascent, and is it of our own heart, and of our own lusts, then we are what? We are walking according to our own vain mind. Our own vain mind. Take a look at what he says that we're supposed to walk in chapter 5 and in verse 2. He says, walk in what? What's that word, folks?
Love.
Walk in love. I don't know about you, but I'm really getting sick and tired. I'm starting to really hate hate. I'm really getting tired of it. Are you tired yet? I'm tired of it. Just stop. People can't stop themselves. So you know what he tells the believer? You need to purposefully walk in it. You need to purposefully walk in it. Because when you walk, you are purposing to put one foot in front of the other. Danny's going to have a hard time walking. Our brother John has a hard time walking. He has to purpose each step he takes because he can't step on the one leg. So he's hobbling along. And it's tough, amen? If you've ever injured yourself, you've ever broken a bone, it's tough. When you've ever broken a leg or you've done something with your leg, it's tough. It's tough. But you know what? When you do that, you begin to realize how important it is to purpose each step. And he says, I want you to walk in love. I want you to walk in love. And how is that walk in love about? As Christ also hath loved us. Your love should be like the love of Christ. Whatever relationship it is, your love should be as the love of Christ. Well, how do we do that? Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me make this clear to you. Love goes all the way to death. He's telling believers, he says, I don't think you love God the way you love God. I don't think you love God the way you love God because I don't see you loving each other the way that I love you. He says, walk in love. Don't walk in what you want, like the Gentiles did. Walk in the love of God. Walk in the love of God. Walk in light. Verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You ever tried to walk in the dark? That's when you start singing Dumb Ways to Die. Some guy decided to go night hiking in the Columbia River Gorge. He paid for that with his life. He walked right off a cliff. That's what happens when we don't walk in light. Well, where does our light come from? Well, Jesus Christ himself. And this book right here. It is a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. Right here, this book You walk according to it, according to the light. It's the Word of God. Chapter 5, and in verse 15, one that you hear me frequently talk about, because again, I want us to understand this concept. You walk in awareness. Not only do you walk in love, you walk in light, you walk circumspectly. Because in chapter 5, verse 15, he says very clearly there, he says, because I don't have it memorized, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It's foolish to walk around completely unaware of what is happening, completely unaware of a believer that needs help, completely unaware of what God wants you to do at that specific moment, completely unaware of some other calling that maybe God wants you to do in addition to what you're already doing in that path right now. To be aware of sin, to be aware of holiness, to be aware of the Word of God, to be aware of the leading of the Holy Spirit, to be aware of other spirits out there that are trying to get you to do something else. Folks, that's how you walk worthy. You're aware because you have the light of God and you have the love of God in your life to lead you. That's walk. This is a foundational principle. Notice back over there in chapter 4 and in verse 1, he says, walk worthy of. There's that little preposition. And again, I'm not going to go into grammar. I'm not going to make you diagram the sentence. How many remember that? Go there and it says the word of, and it's connecting something. It's connecting some parts of the sentence to another part of the sentence, but what it's really truly connecting is it's connecting the purpose of our walk. The purpose of our walk is found very clearly in the next few words there, where it talks about of the vocation. The vocation. Look, Caleb Buckman, you remember him, he was here not too long ago, As I was finishing up the final touches on this sermon this week, he sends me this podcast on Spotify. He says, you got to listen to this. It was an old podcast. It was an old recording that was on a podcast. And it was talking about this book that's no longer in print. And it was how Martin Luther was talking about very specifically how to walk the Christian life. And he was talking about vocation and Christian vocation. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I'm preaching that this Sunday. What are you talking about? And he was just, we were like, you get excited about that because it's like, it's not coincidence, folks. I'm done with that word. I am really done with that word. It is not coincidence. It is the leading of the Lord. And you know what that was? That was kind of a confirmation for me. That's what I want you to teach on today. That's what I want you to preach on. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to try to do anything else, Lord. I got my notes. I'm going to stick with my notes, right? But I'll tell you very clearly here, there is a difference between the occupation that we think we have and the vocation wherewith God has called us to. And there's a big difference. The words sound the same. We think that they might be the same, but they're totally different. They're totally different. I want you to think about this for a moment. When we talk about vocation, wherewith we're called, you know what that means? That means that this walk is more than just a direction. It's more than just forward momentum. It is more than just heading towards one thing. It's more than just the movement of the walk itself. We are talking about it is the true purpose of why we are walking the way we are walking. Worthy. It distinguishes from that mundane that I was talking about, sometimes that we get trapped in our own heads, by the way. It's our own heads that bring that mundane thought to our minds, but it is a very active thought process that the Lord is asking us to engage in. It is something that when we look at that word, vocation, we realize there is more to it than just occupation. That word occupation would elicit a sense of idleness of the mind, of the soul, of the spirit, and of the heart. Why? Because you're just occupying. You're just an air sucker. Just breathe in and breathe out. You're occupying space. That's one of the things that they talk about as far as one of the challenges to marriage. When you get married, you begin to realize that the purpose that that person has in your life, your spouse, is to block you from whatever it is you need to get to next. Especially when you're working in the kitchen, amen? Me and my wife, we do that. She'll be looking at me. She'll be like, "You're in my way." And I'm like, "Oh, I'll move." And then 5 seconds later, I look at her, "You're in my way." We're occupying space, right? It's more than that. Occupation elicits a sense of idleness. You're just occupying. You're just filling in. And what do we find with that? It just is. Occupation is just is. It's just, that's it. It's a day-to-day monotony, little purpose, and it just seems to just occupy our time. I got to go to work because I got to go to work. I'm not going to have a show of hands, but how many of you have ever had a job that you hate? Maybe you have a job right now that you hate. You know, sometimes there are jobs that are just there just for the purpose of, I need to put food in this hole in the front of my face. I need to put a roof over my head, so I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get money.
Amen. Right.
But vocation is very different. Vocation is very different. The occupation is just is. That's like having a degree of whatever or a specialty trait and saying, you know what, I think I'm just going to go work at Taco Bell and fold burritos all day long. Well, I guess if that's your vocation, if that's what you feel called to, maybe you're the best burrito maker there is. I don't know. But I will tell you this, the vocation in this Christian life is more than that. It's like exercise. You know, you realize that over there when Timothy says, or when Paul says to Timothy, he says, bodily exercise profiteth little. And sometimes that's people's life verse, amen? I will be very clear. There is a profit in it. There's a profit in work. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the Bible says. You don't work, you don't eat. So what do you need to do? Get a job, hippie. Even if you got to occupy, just do it, okay? Because you know what? There's a greater calling than having an occupation in this life. There's more to me than just working in the legal department of a healthcare company. There's more to life than being a tent maker. There's more to life than being a stonemason. Brick, mortar, and stone, his specialty. There's more to being a police officer. There's more to being a nurse. There's more to being whatever it is that kind of that occupation we think. And we think that's what defines us. And sometimes, I'll tell you this, this is why I don't like that. Because sometimes people will look at a job and they will have a this idea about it and have a demeaning response to it. One of the things that really irritates me is when somebody asks a woman or even a guy sometimes, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm a housekeeper or a housemaker, you know. And they go, oh, you realize how hard a job that is?
Amen.
That's why Mother's Day is pretty important, amen? You wouldn't be here without your mother. Think about that. But I want to be clear. You know, we sometimes have this idea of what we think a job is, And sometimes that job is just not what we think would be important. But God has called us to a vocation, which is more than that occupation. There is some profit to what we do as far as work, but it's a vocation that really matters. What do we see here? This vocation is a deep spiritual calling because God's called us. When I talk about deep spiritual calling, I'm talking about calling of the Lord. This isn't Ken Stewart calling you to do this. This isn't some pastor up here calling you to do this. This isn't some sort of casual request. This is God saying, here's what I've called you to walk in. Here's what I have called you to do. I have called you to walk worthy of the vocation, meaning that vocation is the purpose with which you walk every single day. It's a deep spiritual calling. It's a deep spiritual calling of a life that has fulfilling purpose. Look, I'm not trying to degrade it in any way, shape, or form. Somebody works in that industry, that's fine. But, you know, just understand, if your job is an assembly line and all you're doing is putting part A to part B as it comes down, you got parts coming down, you got a bin over here of parts, here's parts coming this way, and you go pop, 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 pop. You're like, my life sucks, pop, pop. You know what I'm talking about? I want you to understand something. That doesn't seem like it's a fulfilling purpose. You know what's a fulfilling purpose? Doing something for Christ. God's way. Not your way, God's way. That is fulfilling. And somebody will say, well, what are you talking about? Like, you know, being a pastor, being something. No. Doing something for Christ every day, living your life for Him and His glory. That's your vocation. That's what you do. It's a fulfilling purpose. It's a fulfilling purpose that develops the Christian craft. It develops the Christian craft with love, with service towards other. And again, it's in alignment to Christ, as we talked about this morning, but it's in alignment to what your true self is. You want what your true self is? Look, people are going to be out there and like, you need to find your true self. You know what? I found my true self, and he's ugly. So you know what God gave me? He gave me a new self. He gave me a new creature. I'm a new creature. I have a new purpose. I have a new life. It's not mine. It's His. You know what my true self is? Jesus Christ. And for me to live holy for Him. In both senses of the word holy. Fully and righteously. That is what a vocation is. That's when we begin to realize the importance behind it. And I use that word craft there, and I want you to understand something. When I talk about the word craft, you realize what craft is? In the intelligence industry, we call it spycraft. Why? Because there's an art to it. You got to be good at it. There are some people that would never be good for spying. There are some people that you could never trust with state secrets. I'm going to leave that one alone. There's some people that would be good at it, and there's some people that are not good at it. Amen? And I'm not saying that's necessarily something you want to achieve to get to, okay? But it's a craft. Laying brick, mortar, and stone is a craft. Framing a house is a craft. Doing things, there's a craft to it. And often we call those vocational You go to a vocational school to learn a vocation. And what is that? That's where you're working with your hands. You know what they said is right now going to be one of the hottest job markets? Vocational trade skills. Why? Because AI still can't build a house. AI still can't give you an injection. AI still can't do surgery, praise the Lord. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. There's certain skill things that you do, and what is it? You work with your hands and you work with your heart to do it. That's what I'm talking about with craft. People sometimes put crafts together. Sometimes people are great at putting crafts together. Sometimes people take all this stuff that you would think would be junk and they make something out of it and you go, wow, that is cool. There's a craft to it. You know, that's what it's related to when we start talking about vocation in the etymology of the word. You begin to realize that it is something where a person is truly laboring with their hands because they love it. You know what? When you walk worthy, it is something that you walk in love because you love the walk you're on. You love the path that God has given to you. You love Him wholeheartedly as we continue to move to the point of where we get to see Him face to face when the roll is called up yonder. We find it right here in Scripture. You know what? You know what a vocation does? It answers the question, why am I here? For a believer. Now, we know what it says over there in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, that you're here to please God, and we understand that. We get that. But when you're a believer, and there's a lot of questions of like, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? Right now, you know what you need to do? You need to live according to God's word. And that's not mundane. That's purposed. That is putting one step in front of, one foot in front of the other as you step along the path that God has given to you. And you know what? That becomes your life's profession. We talk about, what's your profession? Well, what we're talking about is often, what is your occupation? Sometimes we like to say, what do you love to do? But I will tell you this, when I'm talking about profession, I'm talking about your profession of faith. You know what your walk, how you walk worthy? Is if you're walking in love and you're walking in light and you're walking aware the way that God wants you to, the world will see that. The world will see that. And they will say, hey, you're on a different path. Hey, you're in a different life. Hey, you're doing things that are not what I would do according to the world. And you can say, let me show you who Jesus is and how He will change the path you are on to a path that is ordained in good works. We go through the rest of the chapter in chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians, and we find all of these things that are there that deal with this. And I want to make mention about something with vocation, is that when we start realizing what it is, that it is a fulfilling purpose that develops that Christian craft, if you will, in love towards another person and in service towards another person. Chapter 4, by the way, is the pinnacle chapter of the book of Ephesians. It all leads up to this point. Because what you wind up seeing him say here is in this, he says, I want you in verse 4 of chapter 4, he says, there is one body, there's one spirit, even as you are called and one hope of your calling. He said, you know what, you're all called together to do this. Are you saved, born again, child of God? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? Amen. A few of you have. If you have, you know what? You're included in that. There's one hope of your calling. There is one calling that you are called unto, and it is this calling. It is this calling. Now, I understand that as he goes through and he starts talking about some specific things later on in the chapter, I get that, I understand that, but I want you to understand, everybody is called to walk worthy, everybody is called to walk according to this vocation, and what is that? That is to love God, to love others, and to serve. That's what God says. Because as you go through this, and what does he say in verse 12? He says, you know, again, what is this all for? Here's the purpose behind all of this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. As I said this morning, there's a difference between edifying and encouraging. Edifying is building. Encouraging is kind of like the cheer team. But when you edify, you have to do it in charity, according to 1 Corinthians 13. Because charity edifieth. And charity is preferring someone else. And what do we find here? He says, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to build up each other. We live in a day and age where it's all about tearing each other down. Let's not go the route of the world. Let's not walk in the way of the world where we have to tear each other down. That ought not be so in the body of Christ. You know what the body of Christ is? The body of Christ is saying, you know what? I may think that that person is a bad person, but you know what? I'm going to default to saying, I'm going to love them anyways. I'm going to forgive them anyways. The end of the chapter. Chapter 4. And what do we find here? He says, this is what it's all for. It's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the work of the ministry. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. And like I said, while you go through there and he lists some things that are there, but he does say some. And he says that, you know, in verse 11 where he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Meaning not everybody gets that, and not everybody's going to be that. You know what? Not everybody's going to be one of those people. So you know what you're going to be? You're still going to be a member of the body of Christ, regardless of whatever your position and title is. Amen? So you know what that means? You're called to edify. Don't leave that for the pastor. Don't leave that for the assistant pastor. Don't leave that for a deacon. Don't leave that for a Sunday school teacher. You do that. You purpose to do that, your life will be different.
Yeah.
Your life will be different. Take a look at what he says in chapter 4 and in verse 16. He says, from who the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body edifies itself in love. Are you a member of the body of Christ?
Amen.
Are you saved?
Amen.
If you're saved, you're a member of the body of Christ. I don't care if you're the little pinky toenail, or you're the weird hair that grows out of your eyebrow that you have to trim, or whatever it is, amen? You're a member of the body of Christ. Edify the rest of the body in love. Edify the rest of the body in love. Take a look at what he says in verse 29. Verse 29 of this, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what?
Edifying.
That it may minister grace unto the hearers. What is he saying? He's saying edify, 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 edify. And as I've talked about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, he says, I would that you would excel, paraphrasing, at edifying the church. You know what your calling is today, believer? Your calling is to walk worthy of the vocation, which is to edify everyone else. Even at your own expense. That's your vocation. And I want to be clear. Every believer is called to do that. If you are physically sitting here right now and your body is warming that pew, that's your calling. Nobody here can say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Nobody here can say, I have no idea what God wants me to do in my life. I don't know what the will of God is. Amen?
Amen.
It's right there. God has called us to that. God has called us to be that individual. And again, we have got to strive to do that. We have got to purpose to do that. It is something that, you know what, as a vocation, it is something that you have got to love to do with your heart. When I see somebody that gets to love what they do, I dare say sometimes I do get a little envious. Amen? Now, I love what I do. I love working in the legal field. I love my job. I love being a pastor. And it's not because I love being in a position or anything like that. That's just you. But it's because I love seeing people grow. I love seeing people build each other up. I love seeing people make godly, righteous decisions in their life. And when a person loves being saved and loves this book and loves their Savior and loves what God has called them to do, you're going to see a Christian that loves to edify. That loves the other brothers and sisters in Christ. That loves the sheep. That loves them in such a way that their entire purpose, their fulfillment, their life's calling is to walk worthy of the vocation of edification of others. That's what we're called to do. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for the time. And Lord, I thank you again for what you teach us from your word. And Lord, I thank you so much for what you have done for us, for what you've done on the cross, for how you've given to each one of us the enabling to do this walk, to edify. And Lord, while we may stumble and fall occasionally, and while sometimes we may frustrate that grace, Lord, I pray that we would all respond to that calling this morning. That we'd realize that this is not something that we can just ignore, but is something that is mandated of you, that is commanded of you for your glory, for your purpose, for all that you have done. And Lord, may we take that and truly, Lord, have a vocation that we would walk worthy of. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, you continue to meet as we close with this hymn. And I ask and pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.